This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم لك الحمد We still have the two callers online, inshallah?
We do.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, jazakumullah khair for joining us and for the two callers to stay online with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all for your patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our shortcomings. And I'm deeply in gratitude to our dear brothers and sisters at Islam Channel for the opportunity of being able to connect with you in different parts of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bridge our gaps. We have our first caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum caller. How can I help? It's good to hear from you, Brother Ra'fat. Barakallahu feekum for you and your family. Thank you for calling us regularly each and every week. How can I help today, Ma'akhi?
Yes, my dear brother. Brother, there is a question about statement and about what is he,
Allah yubarak feekum. Jazakumullah khair for your question. So I'll paraphrase the question once again, my dear brother. The question is about the shaitan, Satan. Why was he kicked out of the mercy of Allah if he still acknowledges and knows that Allah is the creator? He's not worshipping other than Allah. What has caused him to be extended out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for eternity? This is a really interesting question. It's a question that many of the ulama of the past, especially those who deal with the issues of aqidah, have addressed from many different vantages. There's actually something called al-aqidah al-iblisiyah, the corrupt belief of Iblis. The corrupt belief of Iblis is that he believed about Allah that which is not in Allah. And therefore, one of the dangers for us as Muslims is to believe in to believe something about Allah that is not true. And it becomes important for us to be verifying our sources of faith, to have a true insight into our belief, ala basira, with insight and clarity. Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah. Come to the knowledge of what it means, of how to practice that statement, la ilaha illallah. And of course, the conclusion of it, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iblis had three main problems. The first problem was false love. If you think about it, Iblis was one who loved the attention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's like, ana khayrun min, I'm better than this one. I'm better than the one you created from dust. Ya Allah, you should love me more than you love Adam. And therefore, his love of his position, his love of his standing, his love of being celebrated, that he was raised to the level of the angels, he kana min al-jinni fa fasaqa an amri rabbi. That becomes the second problem. that he exited from the instructions of Allah. Sadly, today as Muslims, there's some Muslims who've misunderstood the concept of Islam. The concept of Islam means to surrender and to submit oneself to Allah. It is an act of defiance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when something, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا, when Allah and His Messenger has given a decisive ruling, a decisive instruction in something, that a believer could have any other way or pull from it. It's one thing that a person doesn't do what's right. It's another thing that a person justifies it and believes that what is right is actually wrong and denounces the order of Allah, rejects the order of Allah as is done by Iblis, which exits him from the mercy of Allah. And even if he claims faith in Allah, it does not change the fact that his belief in the first instance is corrupt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the mushrikeen, that unbelievers in Quraysh, لَإِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask most human beings, the people of the time of the Prophet ﷺ, who created the heavens and the earth, who created this expanse, they will say it's the one supreme God, the God of God, the true God, right? That does not mean that their acknowledgement of God is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third problem that Iblis had was a pride, that he made himself on equal footing to God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the instruction of Allah was countered by his own preference, that I will do what I want to do, and it doesn't matter what you say to me. And therefore, that's one of the first lesson we learn in Surah Al-Baqarah, we learn in the Quran, is the story of Adam. وَيَا Adam, Allah counsels Adam, don't be like Iblis. This is the first story, the first narrative of the Quran that gives us that instruction to be min al-Muslimin, those who submit themselves in love to God, worship of God, but also in acceptance and humility to Allah. The first rule, the master rule of Islam, is that Allah is the master and I am the slave, that Allah is the lawgiver and I'm the one who is ordered to follow it to the best of my ability, and where I err, that I acknowledge I'm wrong and not have the creed and the disbelief of Iblis by saying, أغويتني, you're the one who let me make the mistake. You, O Allah, you have the power to stop me. Why didn't you stop me? And of course, that is called al-aqidah al-iblisiyya, that I'm not at fault. Allah, you had the power to make me a believer. You let me be an unbeliever. Of course, that is a false, a red herring and a disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah has given us the amana, the trust of living upon this earth. Man amila salihan falinafsih. The one who lives according to the righteous decree of Islam and faithfulness, then it is only of benefit to themselves, and it is no harm to Allah or profit to Allah if we adhere or not to the truth. Jazakallah khair wa barakallah feekum for that wonderful question. We have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Not yet.
Oh, we'll come back to our caller, inshallah. Well, it's a good time for us to continue our discussion about the environment, which is where we began. And we said that the environment, it is a part of our belief, enshrined in the Quran, that everything around us is an indicator of who is the maker and the fashioner. Badi'u samawati wal ard. The originator from nothingness of the heavens and the earth and the kingdoms that are beyond us, that which we know and that which we do not. As Muslims, we believe very elementally from the very early sentences of the Quran, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Our belief is in Allah, the Lord of all of the existences, all of the realms, all of the universes, all of that which is known to us and that which is beyond us, not known to us. So we, with literal belief in the Quran, believe that there is more than one existence, more than one world, more than one place, more than one intellectual power that has been given the right to choose right and wrong, that there are many other creations of God that are known to him, not known to us. But we are upon this earth. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith of Al-Imam Muslim, الدنيا حلوةٌ خضراء. This worldly life is delicate and green in its lush beauty. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِيهَا. And your Lord has put you as stewards upon this earth. فَنَاظِرٌ مَاذَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is taking note and account and will judge in how well you've lived upon this beautiful earth that He has prepared for us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Alaykum salam, Sheikh. I've got two questions.
Yes, sister.
One of them is, I've been invited to go to Christmas lunch from my colleagues because I'm retired now, so we work together.
MashaAllah.
They invited me to go for lunch, but it's Christmas lunch. That's number one.
Okay, so let me just pause you there. As Muslims, it's important to kind of clarify this. We are people who live with others and are respectful to all of the different traditions, all of the different faiths and practices. I do not believe that there is anything wrong with attending a lunch with other people, especially when they're honoring you for so many years of service. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for all the many people that you've helped out. This concept of a lunch and labeling it with one name or another, with one a religious tradition or another, your niyyah is there to enjoy company with your friends and the people you've worked with so many years. It is in an occasion where they're able to take time off work. It's a cultural occasion that transcends particular faith-based practices. And I would say to you, my dear sister, that if you feel that these are people you would normally go to lunch with, go lunch with them. If you want to change it because the time is inconvenient, that's your choice. But it is not a religious matter. Nobody is inviting you for a religious function and service for you to change your faith or to practice a different faith. This is my understanding. And this is, I believe, something that is the way that I tend to live my life. It seems to be a common sense approach. You may hear other opinions from other people. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. You had another question, my sister. Assalamu alaikum.
So is it okay then if it's when they said Christmas lunch, I can go?
They're honoring you for your years of service. It doesn't matter. It could be any time of the year, my dear sister. Are they there to worship? Is it an act of worship that you're doing, or is it enjoying lunch with your friends? That is the question, and that's how I would view it. And I would encourage you, inshallah, to make that decision for yourself. It is not a religious issue, inshallah. Did you have a second question, sister?
Yes, second one is
yes.
If I go to a cafe, but not Muslim cafe, and I have
yep.
No meat or anything. But what is worrying me, after that, the cutlery putting the machine together with the other cutlery. So is that okay? I mean, if they are washed anyway, but I'm not sure because they are big. That's the only thing I'm worried.
So what I will say to you, your question, I'll make it more general. You know, if you're invited to a place of where you're not really sure about the hygiene levels and things like that, or you're not really sure about how things are washed or whether there's mix and matching and you're not really comfortable, if you're not able to choose a different venue yourself because you're obligated to others, it might be better for you to order something and ask for plastic cutlery, ask for things like this. And people are much more understanding now with things like COVID and so on. I know that there's even people, you know, it goes a little bit extreme, in my opinion, not Muslims even, but there are some people who are a little bit sensitive to germs and so on, that they bring their own set of cutlery. I'm not telling you to carry a plate and fork and so on, but if you're really that sensitive, you're really that worried about it, then you do have those kind of options. And what I would suggest is maybe ask for plastic cutlery or a takeaway set, because I don't think I'm going to finish the meal. So if it can be in a takeaway set, that way I can carry it with me after. That's an easier way to kind of navigate it. However, I do not see any religious reason for you to eat at a restaurant where the utensils that are used there have been washed in high pressure, high heat, with modern technologies that gives them no sense of taste of that which was on it before, color or texture or anything of that nature. It now becomes tahir. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your concern. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist you in that regard, inshallah. Do we have another caller on the line?
No.
All right, we're going to continue, alhamdulillah. One of the powerful verses in the Quran when we're speaking about the environment is in Surah Ali Imran. In the last page of Surah Ali Imran, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the alteration of the heavens and the earth and the night and the day and the changing of that which surrounds us, when you look up and around you, there are signs from God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to those whose hearts are alive and receptive to wanting to find truth and to want to find purpose in their existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this type of verse in many chapters of the Quran, in chapter 45 and in so many chapters, that there are signs for those who seek faith, for those who contemplate, for those whose hearts are open, that they look into the scattering of the animals that surround, they look into the diversity and the biomes and the ecosystems that are all around us. And Allah says, أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, that no birds fly or insects huddle under the earth, there's no ants in their burrow, there's no bees in their hive, except that you should treat them as a nation alike yourself. The Prophet ﷺ said that before the Day of Judgment, we will be able to decipher some of the language of animals, of some animals. And subhanAllah, there's so much research going into this at the moment that we're able actually to decipher some of the chemical signatures, some of the sound vibrations, and some of the frequencies that are being shared, not just by living animals, but even things like fungus that grow on the roots of a tree. Even by the limbs and the root networks of trees in a forest. So it is now demonstrable that if you were to infect one side of a forest with a fungus that begins to cause rot and decay to the trees and the vegetation on one side, that the other side of the forest, in one way or another, through the root system, that there are signatures and communication channels that begin to develop immunity to that very virus that infected one side of the forest. It's an incredible, incredible field of research and study. We've come to know today that birds flock together, that there are patterns in their flight, that there are things that go beyond them just flying out aimlessly in their days and in their night, that their hibernating patterns, that their travel from winter and seasonal travel is not just something aimless. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the birds in the heavens, يُمْسِكُهُنَّ الرَّحْمَنِ, there's none other than Allah the ever merciful who sustains them and upholds them in flight. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them that natural instinct to move forward. And therefore for us, we look out into the world to see the power of Allah, the creation of Allah. And Allah says, look into your own self. SubhanAllah, as I sit in front of you here, I'm a marvel of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm a marvel, as you are, of the network of vascular veins, of chemical synapses that are receiving chemical signatures from one part to the other. Just you being able to see me in color and hear and sound and the beauty of everything that surrounds us, just the ability to hear. I was reading, wallahi, literally today, that sound is something that is felt in every cell of the body. And subhanAllah, one of the ways that we acknowledge alhamdulillah, that the Quran is a healing, is that it is an auditory sound. Everything that is living has movement, right? All your cells are vibrating. And when sound interacts with it, it vibrates in various rhythms and in various tempos that it can react to other things around it. And therefore, the healing of the sound of the Quran, shifa'un lima fi sudur, Allah says it's a healing to that which ails the heart, a healing to that which troubles us inside, that it de-stresses us. But also the sound of the Quran, the sound of the words of Allah, especially when they are recited by one who is trained in the tajweed, the idgham and the ghunna and the actual articulations of the tajweed, not just the harmony and the tone and the rhythm, but the actual sounds have a powerful effect at soothing us as human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Don't you see that to Allah, that which is in the heavens and the earth bow down to Him in authority, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَالشَّجَرُ وَالدَّوَابُ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. The sun and the moon and the stars and the trees, they all make sujood to Allah. And many of mankind, وَكَثِيرٌ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابُ. And even more, their punishment is written for them for abstaining from what should be a logical conclusion to submit themselves to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that mischief and corruption, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر, has appeared on land and in the seas, بما كسبت أيدي الناس, by the workings of the hands of mankind. Subhanallah, I want you to kind of think of the amount of garbage that is now, there's literally an island of plastic that is floating in the ocean. It is an island that's not something small. It's nearly the size of the United Kingdom in its dimensions. It's a huge amount of plastic that's just been washed out into the ocean that is changing the saline content, changing the patterns of migration of fish and whales. It changes the environment in a way that is causing and producing havoc. All of us, of course, we're commenting day in and day out, the weather's really changed, the climate's really changing. You know, when I was young, I never saw this kind of weather, never saw this kind of climate, whether it's excessive heat or excessive dryness or excessive rain and humidity, depending on where you are in the world. There is a sensible sense just amongst lay people, let alone the scientific community, climatologists and others, that things are different to what they should be and what is meant to be the norm. And of course, our faith as Muslims is impacted by the environment that is around us. It is a sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us that it is a sunnah to be one who plants and produces something from the earth that others can eat it. And I kind of leave you with this thought. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that there isn't a person who puts something in the earth, plants a seed or plants a tree, plants a little sapling that begins to grow, except that everything that interacts with it afterwards, whether it's because they sell from it or it's just naturally, except that they earn a reward. So an ant is enjoying its sap. A bird sat on its branch. A human being took rest under its leaves and shade. The fruits that are consumed by animals and humans, all of that is an act of charity. And therefore it is one of the greatest, most rewarding aspects of our life to be from those who follow this tradition of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. In the next week, inshallah, on Wednesday, we'll connect once again. We'll talk about the environment once again. It's something that's not just a topic in the media, but should be a topic in each and every masjid, each and every home, to look after our communities, to look after our countries, to look after our human race, and that we can produce the will to make a change for future generations. Because the concept of being Khalifa is that you inherit the earth from ones before you to give it in a better state or equal to those who come after. May Allah reward all of you. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم.